Hey, everybody, welcome to Wallace Hartley, the podcast. Wallace Hartley presents the podcast. I'm your host, Glenn Lamont, and I'm very excited about the show tonight because my special guest is a guy I've known for ever. And first, I want to just spend a minute to talk about our topic tonight, cancel culture, freedom of speech, and hypersensitivity. So these are all things that we deal with on a daily basis in the age of the internet and social media. If something is offensive to another group, for whatever the reason, it gets called out. And if there is enough of an appetite for it, that person, be they celebrity, influencer, or a stand-up comic, gets canceled. Started with Louis C.K. back in 2017. Loved by all the white liberals and progressives. He knew exactly all the right buttons to push. He hated Trump. He condemned racism. He was, politically speaking, the left's golden boy. They tried desperately to cancel him. Seemed like it was working. His shows were canceled at comedy clubs all across the country. He lost movie gigs. He lost Netflix specials. The list goes on, but that only lasted about a year. And by the way, his crime was exposing himself and masturbating in front of mostly female comics. Next up, it was Dave Chappelle. Now, Dave has a history of anti-trans jokes or transphobic jokes in his act and his specials, and things came to a head with his last Netflix special, The Closer. That was part of his, I don't know how many special deals with Netflix, right? Which is why it was called The Closer. It was the last one. So he faced a great deal of criticism from Netflix employees, some of whom were trans. Fair enough. They accused their employer, and rightly so, of being hypocritical by saying that they cared deeply about the inclusive culture at Netflix, but at the same time allowed the special to air anyways. It's almost like a giant corporate entity like Netflix only cared about making money. Go figure. And the latest is the Joe Rogan Experience on Spotify. Neil Young and Joni Mitchell pulling their music from the streaming platform in protest of his show spreading misinformation regarding COVID-19. Neil said, "You can have Neil Young or you can have Joe Rogan, but you can't have both." Giant soul-stealing, money-grubbing corporation who couldn't give a shit about any of the artists on their platform, and Canadian rock legend, political activist, 70s icon, and one of the most prolific songwriters of the 20th century. Guess who lost that argument? Why? Because they paid Rogan $100 million to come over to Spotify, and there's no way in the world that he's going anywhere until he's paid them back, and then some. I need to make one thing clear here. When we're talking about all this stuff, I would never condone any form of hate speech, racist propaganda, or any of the other inbred hillbilly conspiracy theories floating around out there. There's just no place for it. However, I will defend anybody else's right to be wrong. Because once we start canceling folks, well, it's a slippery slope and would not take long at all before freedom of speech was gone. And besides, as long as Fox News continues to be allowed to spout their propaganda, no one can say shit. And my guest today is one of the funniest guys I know. We've known each other for nearly 40 years now. He is, like myself, a Punchlines comedy alumni, a true club road comic, if ever there was one, currently retired, semi-retired in Victoria, BC, that's where everybody goes to retire, right? Victoria. Please welcome to the program, former stand-up comic, ace photographer, and amateur coroner, Mr. David Bruce. How the hell are you?
What's that, honey? Hey, I don't know. I got to do this stupid podcast with Glenn. I don't know how long it's going to take. I just got to figure out how to turn the mic on, and I'll be right with you.
Oh. Yeah, we're live.
Hi, Glenn.
How are you?
I'm sorry I didn't realize we were live.
Yes. Boy, it's great to have you on the program. It's great to see you.
What lovely things you said. Some of them are even mildly accurate. I don't think we'll ever really retire. I don't know. I do know your show offends me, and I will have to cancel it.
Well, just so you good.
Know. Mm-hmm. Although I've never seen it because
because the best way to I know
not deal with something that you want canceled is just to know nothing about it. It just makes it so much easier to cancel.
I know because right? when I saw you, in not last year but the year before, when I yes. when I was over on the island, mm-hmm. and yeah, you were like, oh, so what else are you doing? I said, well, I got a podcast. Yeah, I don't listen to podcasts.
I didn't say it like that.
To just shut it down. Yeah, I don't care.
I might not have said it like that, though. I remember that well because we were on our first Mustang, as I recall.
Yeah, see, how much of the program is going to deviate from the questions that I sent you? And
you
kind of
sent me questions?
And kind of I just wander off into Mustang. So let's get it out of the way.
I just recall you saying, make sure you show me a picture of your Mustang.
No.
And this is the third one. Her name is Wailea. And yes, thank you for asking. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that
just it is. It's a nice car. This is. It
even says 5.0.
Yeah.
Look at those wheels. Oh, yeah.
This is not the Mustang show.
Oh, I'm very a little disappointed.
It was a black Mustang. I think
it was. It's a long story that I won't get into, but right now we're on our third Mustang. It's a magnetic metallic one. It's the 5.0. It's nice. So there you go. That's all I'm going to talk about Mustangs.
Okay, then. But I don't
Unless
believe
you want to hear more about them.
I don't know. The last time we talked, you were on the phone, and I said, well, how about this date for the show? And you were like, no, I have to go pick up a such and such part. Do you know what that is, Glenn? And I'm like, no, why the hell?
The H-pipe.
Yeah. And then you proceeded to tell me exactly.
It is in fact being installed and makes the car louder and more obnoxious. I am one of those jerks now who drives around at 2 a.m. and steps on it. Yes.
So one of the guys
I'm not up at 2 a.m. anymore. What am I? Are you kidding me? 11:30. I'm like, oh, I'm really tired. I got to go to sleep. And I had a nap earlier. Oh,
it's brutal, isn't it? But basically car you drive now is the car that's, you know, the kind of guys that we used to make fun of when we were driving around in crappy, falling apart road cars doing the Northern Circuit in.
Hated those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. But you know, you reminded me when we were talking earlier before the show, it's just of a priceless road comic moment. Were you driving? You must have been. Yeah.
Yeah, I
rarely had a license.
I didn't know you drove. We talk about the time that we waited at the railway tracks and then I went up to pass that woman. Is
yes.
that what you're talking
yeah.
about? Please go on.
Oh, just driving whatever. Oh, God. Every car was falling apart.
Yeah.
But got driven into the ground for thousands of miles. And we, I don't know. We were probably going to like Quesnel or some.
We were going to the interior of BC somewhere, and it was a one-nighter. It was a long drive, and I decided that as there nothing was coming in the other way, there was only two cars ahead of me, if I just stepped on the pedal, which actuated the holes in the muffler sound.
And the smoke.
And the smoke, and race past these two cars in second, winding that motor out. Maybe we'll get past them and we won't have to worry about cars in front of us.
Yeah.
And you happened to look over.
Yeah, I looked and saw the poor woman in her car with nothing. I can only describe it as abject terror on her face, looking at us, just going, yeah, somebody's going to die tonight. glad it's not me.
They're on the way to kill somebody. Yeah. I can tell.
And because honestly, yeah, I think it must have looked very much like some sort of Fear and Loathing.
Oh, yeah. Headbands and motorcycle gear on and
smoke
just the
coming
sound
out
of
the windows. And
yeah. And then laughing like loons as we went past,
yes,
right?
That's right. Serial killers warming
on
up.
On the way. Coming to your town.
So here, you know, I talked earlier about the whole cancel culture thing. Now, yep, having been doing stand up for all those years, but starting in the 80s.
88 for me.
88. Mm-hmm. At Punchlines Comedy Club. Mm-hmm. Is that where you started?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. That was my very first open mic night, was Punchlines.
Right.
1988. Last weekend in March.
Damn. Wow. You got a good memory.
Monty Cohen threatened me. Monty was no longer with us.
Yes. Monty was amazing.
Monty was so funny. And he said, if you don't get on stage by the end of the month, you're not my friend anymore. And I was like, yeah, well, get on stage. He goes, no, I'm serious. You don't get on stage, you're not my friend anymore. And he swore, which frightened me even more. And so I was like, all right, I guess I got to do this. So I did. And I was like, that was amazing. I have to wait a week to do this again? Yeah, it was fun. Now imagine it's fun. I don't care anymore.
So having done, like starting, you know, cutting our teeth at a time when I think stand-up comedy was, you know, things had changed a lot. And
yep,
and really, like, you know, comics were the rock stars of entertainment because of Robin Williams.
Sam Kinison.
And
Bill Hicks.
Yeah, all those guys. You know, well, Bill Hicks and Sam Kinison being, because they were from the Outlaw Comics, what they called them, out of Texas, out of that club in Texas.
Yep.
But, you know, stand-up was coming into its own. And of course, what's really ironic about what's going on today with cancel culture, not just in comedy, but everywhere, is that had it not been for Lenny Bruce, George Carlin, Richard Pryor, all those guys who, you know, got arrested, you know, got their shows shut down by the police just for using a profanity.
I know.
And when you, and then think about the stuff that we used to say on stage, you know, there's.
I'd like not to. I'd like to not think about the things I used to say on stage.
God.
If that's right. Thank God we didn't record stuff back in the day, because I would probably still be in social prison somewhere.
Oh yeah, social media existed back then, I'd be in exile somewhere, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Or just in prison, I think.
Yeah. I know. We'd be soulmates.
Yeah, but you know, honestly, those guys
in the podcast from prison.
Those guys paved the way just by pushing the boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
And then, unfortunately, most of us took that to mean, I guess we can do anything we want now, as opposed to, hey, that's great. You broke the ground. And now if we feel the need to talk about something controversial, we will. But we didn't do that. We just, I think it was, the space shuttle Challenger when it blew up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And there was like a bunch of comics backstage talking about it. And it was like, no, yeah, well, I think probably too soon, you know. And there was a lot of people just kind of, yeah, I don't think, yeah, you can't touch with that one. And I was probably drunk and went on next and just didn't even hesitate to open with it. I'm not even going to repeat the joke because I want this to actually air on YouTube at some point. But yeah, it was just, that was also a competition with us.
Yeah.
When something horrible and tragic was in the news. People were like clamoring over each other to get on stage to do mm-hmm. the most tasteless joke possible.
I still do that with people I know. But
you know, I will be honest, you do that at 7-Eleven now.
Pretty much. I will just grab strangers and tell them a bad joke about something that's horrible just to, for the reaction. Well, I can't help it. It's in our blood.
I know it is. So, yeah, I mean, having come from that culture that we, you know, cut our teeth on, do you think that we are now looking around at everything that's happening? Are we in danger of being censored every time we offend someone?
Well, not us, because our comedy careers died and no longer exist. But the younger folks, who I don't really care about because they're younger, they could be in trouble. Sure.
Yeah.
I guess, if I cared. But I don't, because I hate them. So, you know, they're little funny jokes.
Yeah. Don't sugarcoat it. Come right out.
Well, you know. No, I'd like to just, you know, say it gently.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's only a whole lot of truth to what I just said.
Yeah, because I just see it all the time now. And clearly, if it's hate speech, if it's racist, if it's just, if there's nothing to it other than I hate you and I want to tell the world why. That's one thing. But when it comes to, because my fear basically is that, you know, as soon as you shut this person down, mm-hmm. then it kind of opens the gates to shut anybody down that anybody in a position of power.
Yeah.
Goes, well, you know, now I can pretty much tell anybody to shut up.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. I will say this, like Jon Stewart, I think nails it. Jon Stewart's one of my favorite entertainers in the world. It's a great comic. His show, of course, Daily Show, we all knew and loved, most of us, except for, you know, the right. but he nailed it. He's like, don't punch down.
Yeah.
Right. Always punch up. So if I see a comic punching down, I'm like, what are you doing? What is wrong with you? Why do you think that way? What, like, why are you doing that? If I see someone punch up and it's funny, I'm all over it. I don't care if it's offensive as long as he's punching up.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. I mean, we're in a very different time right now because it's really transitional. And I think this all started too. It started when you and I were kind of in our heyday doing comedy. Mm-hmm. So shows like, well, first of all, if you grew up, my parents' generation, you know, there was just no such thing as sensitivity or understanding or, you know, any of that. It was just like hardcore. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's you got kicked out of school? Yeah. You should probably get a job. Otherwise, you're not going to have a place to live.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I didn't like that, but I know what you're talking about. Yeah. I understand that.
Yeah. And then shows like, you know, all those talk shows like Phil Donahue and Oprah was the one who really kind of broke the mold. But they started to bring things to light that needed talking about, that weren't talked about it, certainly when I grew up, like sexual abuse and domestic violence and all these things, which was a good thing because it needed to happen. Mm-hmm. And for a lot of people, it was probably helpful. It led them, you know, to therapy and counseling, and it was a good thing. However, the pendulum really swung, because once those floodgates were opened, then it just seemed like it really went in one direction only. And it's going to take some time. And you can see it now because the backlash from all those, you know, alt-right organizations and individuals and people like Alex Jones and and all those guys, right? That's all backlash from that kind of stuff because they feel so threatened by it. But eventually that pendulum has to, you know, there's got to be some balance at some point.
There'll never be balance. It's what a pendulum does. It just does this all, there we are, all the time. That's what a pendulum, hang on just a sec.
So
that's what a pendulum does. Back and oh, great, you just went away. Camera's disabled due to the slow internet connection. Video is still being recorded. So now it's just me.
No, I can see you.
Yeah, but I can't see you.
What?
I can't see you.
Really? Oh, well, that's okay. I wouldn't worry about it. It'll keep recording. In the end product, you'll still see it.
You know what this is? You're being canceled.
You know, in order for me to be canceled, I'd actually have to have some followers and listeners. So I'm not too worried about that. And I remember a couple of years ago, too, when we got together, you were telling me about somebody had called you up. This was in the middle of COVID to talk about doing a show with like plexiglass and, and all that stuff. So that is one of the things that came out. Like, I mean, basically it crushed the industry in the clubs.
Mm-hmm. And by the way, it's just much easier to talk to you instead of a blank screen. By the way, according to nurses I've spoken to, those plexiglass things that keep everything all nice and tight and in together, that's how you catch COVID, right? You want airflow in open areas, right?
Yeah.
To take all those germs away. So every restaurant that had plexiglass for four people, well, if one person's got COVID, the next three have it now because they're all sitting in the space where it all just got trapped. So that was a bad idea.
Pretty much.
And Zoom comedy. Come on.
Well, you know, and then there was, I think, there was a lot of comics I knew who then started doing like live shows from their living room.
Yeah, I know people who still do that. And more power to them. You know what I mean? Sure, I make obscene phone calls. Who doesn't, right?
Well, yeah.
You know, it's the same thing. So I understand in the spirit. I get that, I guess. And well, I'm just on the phone. They're actually, you know, video going. But
and actually doing comedy.
Look into that.
As opposed to harassing people in their homes.
If you know what, if comics can do that, more power to you. I understand creative flow, this and that, working, right? Getting more paid to do it. Awesome. I can't do it. I can't. I need a room packed to the gunnels with people laughing and spraying germs on each other before I'm really happy.
Well, pretty much.
You know?
And yeah, I mean, again, going back to social media, for a lot of comics, and this is so weird to me too, because the amount of comics that actually got their start on platforms like YouTube or TikTok or, you know, whatever, right? Never been in a club, just made some funny videos and got picked up, right?
More power to them, you know? Remember in our days, I can't believe I just said that. Back in the day when everything was black and white and sepia toned.
And everybody was driving Mustangs.
I never said that. I would have. Trying to get a show videotaped?
I know.
You had to find someone with a camera who knew what kind of tape to use, who could transfer it, who could, and you're like, that'll be $300. Back then was like, you know, three shows worth of work just to get a crappy 20 minute or if you're lucky, 10 minute tape that you could send to someone who was never going to watch it.
Yes.
Right. Now you just pull out your phone and there you go. That's a good set. I'll put that on YouTube.
Yeah.
We didn't have that.
No, I know. It's amazing.
It's good for them.
Yeah, but at the same time, I don't think you can ever, you know, discount the experience that comes with, you know, the club circuit.
Oh, it's a different thing. Yeah.
You know, it's because, and look at the amount of, like, famous guys who still just like, man, I can't wait to get back to the clubs.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You know, guys like who are still, you know, basically that's how they earn most of their living is, you know, guys like Seinfeld still working the clubs. I mean, his show, Comedians in Cars Having Coffee. Great show.
Great show.
But again, that's just kind of a side thing for him. His main thing is, you know, working the clubs. So many like big names who started in clubs always end up going back to them. And
you know what? Yeah. Honestly, if COVID disappeared tomorrow and the clubs opened, I would find myself back down looking for stage time. It's just in the blood, you know, and I'm at the end of the month, I'm 63. And Steve Martin said it, it's a young man's game. And yeah, he's right to a certain extent, but there's a lot of older guys our age that are still doing it. And just, if not funny now, funnier than they were 10 years ago. You know, I can sit here and list a bunch of people I know that we came up with that are still doing it, that are still riotously funny. And they got riotously funny by constantly doing stage time, not doing shows, not doing, you know, obscene phone calls like I do. It's an art. So, yeah, you know, I have no idea where I was going with that. I just wanted to say something.
But I mean, it's one of the, it's one of the things, again, that I worry about, you know, with basically cancel culture and how that is going to affect things moving forward, you know, for comics. Maybe not so much in clubs at live shows, because I think that's a different kind of crowd that goes out to see a live comedy show. And I mean, you remember yourself, God, it was just astounding whenever we would get, a Karen who would actually voice out loud her disdain for what we had just said or how we were behaving.
Both barrels.
I know. not even any hesitation.
No, gleefully, right? All right on. I just think I'll ruin her life for her now. You're welcome.
Yeah.
Honey.
Yeah, no, and it was, it's if they leave in tears, oh my God.
I remember Carrie Talmadge catching a kid. He was, rest in peace, Carrie, but some kid in Quesnel, he said something and Carrie went to town on the guy and the guy went to the bathroom and came back and I still hear Carrie going, "Have you been crying?" And this poor kid was just like never went to out ever again.
No, probably right? not.
And we thought that was hilarious.
I know. As you can see.
One example.
And luckily, you know, many years later, I take things much more serious than I did back then.
Me too. I'm all about the empathy.
I meant to mention this too. We were talking about this earlier, but it is so difficult to have a normal job when, you know, you were a comic for like 35 years and then go to work with, you know, I don't know, so-called normal people who just don't understand. And I mean, like, you know, for me, it's often quite enjoyable, horrifying everyone I work with.
Okay. Can I tell you a story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Please do.
So, So I'm currently working for an organization that, helps people. Okay.
Okay.
And we're in the, this will give it away, the post-vaccination area. So after everyone's had their vaccination, we're just sitting there and we're making sure that everyone's okay, that they don't faint, that they're all, you know, they're going to leave okay and make sure they're not anxious or anything. That's the job. And I'm okay with that. I'm also bored. So I'm sitting there and I see this little kid, and the kid's got this kind of a blonde-haired swept down on one side with a part there and bright blue eyes, and he's wearing a mask, right? Uh-huh. And I just turned to this gal I was working with, and I went, "See, that little kid over there, doesn't he kind of look like a, little Hitler?" And she lost it, right? And I'm like, he takes his mask off, and there's just a little mustache there. And I noticed all the other children are kind of afraid of him, and she had to leave the room. But, like, there's very few people that get that kind of dark humor. The kid didn't look like little Hitler. It was just, it just made me laugh. And the hair was enough that it was a tenuous link. And, but there's so few people you can joke with like that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And about it was very funny, by the way, I thought.
Yeah, I mean, it happens to me, like I was telling you earlier, when, because I still do public speaking. I don't do stand-up anymore, but, and I was doing a show in the downtown East Side. I was given a talk, and the subject matter is poverty, addiction, opioid overdose crisis, all kinds of stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm quite passionate about, I work in mental health and addiction now. Go figure, it takes one to know one.
And, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
But I'm giving this talk, and a guy in the front row, I guess he just couldn't wait to ask a question before I had finished speaking. And I didn't even hesitate. I went straight into heckler mode. And, every line in the book, ladies and gentlemen, this is what happens when the fetus doesn't get quite enough oxygen. like, who invited you? Like, what's your problem? And just his clothes, his mom, sleeping with his sister, all in just like boom, 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 boom. And there was probably about six or seven people in the room who found it hilarious. And then there was about 50 people who were absolutely horrified.
Yeah.
So, and stuff
like... What do you do, right?
I know.
I'm grateful for, I will say this. Everyone that I'm currently working with is great. Like, I can make my dark little jokes just between us, and it doesn't go any further, and it keeps us amused. It's like nurses and doctors and policemen and firemen, they all got a dark sense of humor.
Oh, yeah, very much.
Right? We all have empathy and sympathy for the people that we're helping. And otherwise, I wouldn't be doing this. I don't need the money. Do you know what I mean? I drive a Mustang. So,
Well,
I mentioned it again. I'm sorry. I meant to say help people.
Yeah, that's what it was. And I got to tell you, too, when you were talking about being in the waiting room, I think, the weird thing is being a dad now. Mm-hmm. And my older daughter took her to get her booster. No, her first shot. Sorry. Yeah. Right? Because now they are doing vaccines for kids.
I am aware.
Yeah. 5 to 12. Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways, 11, but... so this was at the Italian Cultural Center in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And then in the waiting area, it's the Italian Cultural Center, right? So I said to my daughter, my older daughter, I was like, well, at least they got TV. And she looks up, and it's a guy making lasagna, right? Mm-hmm. And then you realize after a few minutes that it's an endless loop. And what they're trying to sell lasagna to everyone who goes there, big, huge tubs mm-hmm. of it for $50 a pop, could last you like a month. And yeah. And then, so she's just looking at that. She's not saying a word. And then finally I'm like, okay, well, that's good. Nobody's having a reaction. Let's get out of here. And she goes, deadpan. She goes, what? We can't stay and watch the lasagna channel? Never a prouder moment in my life.
Awesome. Yeah, that's a funny line too. Great. Yeah.
Now, you know, the big thing that's I just ran into it today coming back from work was the big freedom convoy. Speaking of COVID, speaking of people that don't believe things are actually things. And I've obviously you haven't had have you had much of that in Victoria? The anti-vaxxers, the anti-maskers.
Yeah, a little bit. I did drive past their little freedom convoy or whatever.
Yeah, what were you driving?
The Mustang. And thanks for asking. And it's a 2020 magnetic metallic Mustang. So I was driving past in that with the H-pipe on, I might add. So it's a nice rumble, right?
Of course.
And I'm going past all these trucks and they're all honking. And I was like, do you really need to honk? Do you not think that your presence is enough? Like, we'll notice all the flags and the signs you have espousing your political beliefs in as simple as possible, a fashion as possible on your trucks. Do you really think we'll miss all that? Do you really need to honk and annoy me?
Well, and let's face it, they're not the brightest collection of people. They are, they're a little bit scared, you know?
They are, and you know what else?
Yeah.
They don't have any money coming to them anymore, I noticed.
No.
Did you see that?
Because none of them will get vaccinated.
Well, no, but the whole GoFundMe.
Oh, the GoFundMe, thank God. Yeah. Well, most of that money was coming from the States.
And now there's Republicans who are going to be looking into why it was canceled. Republicans looking into it? Don't you have enough going on in your crapshoot of a country?
Oh, I know.
Don't you have enough with your right-wing zealots and religious fanatics
and people trying to overthrow your government?
Shouldn't you be paying attention to that? But oh no, we better look into that GoFundMe for the truckers.
I think too. I think that's what their plan was in Ottawa, was a repeat of the insurrection on January 6th in Washington D.C. But it's Canada. Yeah. So,
and no one was home.
no one was home, and a lot of people got there, and then they just started drinking.
Yeah.
Before you knew it,
because it's legal up here.
Yeah, kind of forgot what they were there for, but you know,
honk that horn again,
and then just
someone answer the door.
Started throwing empty beer cans at people walking past and laughing.
Although I will say that parking on the unknown soldier's grave area or whatever it was, the memorial area, that was a little out of order. And putting a hat on Terry Fox and a sign and all that, that was pushing it past the envelope a little bit.
Well, as I said, these guys, they fancy themselves, like this is what I saw in the past, I don't know, since 2016 when Trump got elected. Oh my God. Even I was like, no, did that just happen? Whoa. But ever since he got elected, what I heard up here in Canada, in British Columbia, was people saying things out loud that before you knew they would only say maybe in the bar with their buddies, or they would only think it. But now they were just like, this is okay to do now.
Yeah.
You know, I can be racist and nobody's going to do anything. It's great. And these are the kind of people that are out there in Ottawa. It's nothing to do with truckers. Like the truckers are like, most of us got vaccinated because we want to make money.
Also, I think the States has the same thing going on, doesn't it? The States like you need a vaccine to cross the border?
Yeah, I know.
So,
but you're talking about a bunch of people that
maybe I don't get everything. I don't know. Maybe I'm stupid.
Well, no, there's just a large percentage of the population that when things change and they don't understand why it's changed, rather than do a little thing I like to call critical thinking, or maybe actually doing some research that doesn't involve Facebook, it's much easier for them when somebody comes along and goes, that guy or those people, they're the reason.
Yeah.
And it's just easier to go, oh yeah, I believe that. I would rather believe that than actually think about what the issue is
and confirmation bias
and figure it out, right? Yeah. Because if they actually knew the shit that went on a daily basis on every level of government in Canada and the United States and the UK and probably, you know, most of Europe and
the world.
Yeah. That's way scarier than any conspiracy theory.
I have a book that a friend of mine lent me, and I still got to give it back. The Little Black Book of Secrets in Canada or something like that. And it's all about all the stuff that Canada has done under the sheets that no one knows about. It's crazy what all of the governments, liberal, conservative, whatever, it doesn't matter. The amount of stuff we pulled, and that's just Canada. So you can imagine what the rest of them are doing, but la, la, la.
Well, yeah, they'd rather be talking about this crap than...
Yeah.
So, like, one of the first things that struck me with the thing going on in Ottawa was that the city police were like, yeah, we're not going to do anything about it because we don't want to incite violence. Now, at the same time, the LNG pipeline here in British Columbia, right, and the whole We Stand With Wet'suwet'en movement.
Slightly different reaction.
Yeah. The RCMP are essentially a private army for LNG.
I'm aware.
And
I know.
Committing violence. I mean, throwing old ladies into the snow and breaking their arms and shit. And basically, yeah, it's like private security, but that there are Blackwater, but a bunch of inbred drunk redneck hillbillies stumbling around Ottawa.
I think you mean voters.
Yes, that's what I meant. And they can't get them to leave because they don't want to incite violence.
I know.
Now, just imagine.
Howie Miller had a big post about it. And I'm like, Howie, you're so right. And you know what? I read all the posts. I read as much as I can about it. I read Globe and Mail. I look at CBC. I look at stuff online. I'm always looking for a both sides thing because I want to know, do you guys have a valid point? Do you have valid points? Not really seeing it. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no. I mean, there is, yeah. I mean, I'm the same way. I kind of feel that, I should always be looking at both sides. But but 9 times out of 10, and you know this yourself as a comic, when your gut tells you this is what it is, that's what it is. You don't really have to look any further.
Absolutely. Trust your gut. And I do immensely. And it was funny you should say that. I was thinking that this afternoon because I was thinking about, what am I going to talk to you about? And that was one of the things that came to me. I was like, I trust my instinct. And my instinct says, I can't put my finger on it, but these guys are out of order. There's some things I don't like about this. So I trust my instinct. I always have. I'm rarely wrong.
Yeah. Right? Too, that's something that you develop.
I can be, but I'm not.
It's a survival skill.
Yeah.
Especially when you're working clubs.
Yeah.
And you're dealing with different kinds of people every night in those audiences.
Yeah.
Well, not always different kinds of people, depending on the tour.
Are we talking Alberta or Saskatchewan or Northern BC?
All of the above. And some parts of Stewie's rooms on Vancouver Island. God rest his soul.
I know. I remember there's a bar called, I think it's called the Tabor Arms.
Yes.
It was up in Prince George. Remember the Tabor? And I remember doing a show there once. And the best thing about the crowd were the bikers in the front.
Yes.
They would normally be the lowest common denominator of a crowd. But these guys shone like gold. that tells you what the rest of the crowd was like. Like, thank God these guys liked me while I'm up there for an hour, however long it is.
I know.
Right? They draw my motorcycle material and then hope they like my stuff about dating.
And then maybe I won't get gang raped after the show.
And then they were great.
Yeah.
Everyone else, I wanted to run around stabbing them with a fork. Just the worst people, but the bikers were great.
And it's so funny what you said. Remember the Tabor Arms? And I'm like, yeah, I do. I can't remember what I ate for breakfast yesterday. But I can remember the name of a shitty bar in Prince George from like 20 years ago.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
Well, I finished a show there once. They had moved the stage over to by the door, which was good. And I literally, some drunk guy came up just as I was closing because he wanted to help the show. And I ended up pinning him with my arm, like, against the wall. So I got my left arm out. I'm holding him against the wall while I finished my set and went, thanks a lot, everybody. And I let my arm go and he just face planted into the floor. I put the mic in the stand, walked over to the owner and went, next time, if there is a next time, you could maybe stop drunk people from coming up onto the stage and ruining the show. We'll take our cash now. Thanks. And he's like, yeah, sure. No problems.
Oh, I know.
Look, why can't bikers own this bar?
Yeah. And amazing the amount of like physical fights.
You had a gun pulled on you at a bar in Victoria.
Oh, that's right. I did, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, every time I wander past that place, I'm like, oh, I remember that place. Glenn had a gun. Oh, they pointed it at. Did they point it at you or did they just show it to you?
They showed it to me. Because the guy, I remember he was heckling. And we exchanged some unpleasantries. And he got up and left. And then, of course, me... I can't just leave it alone. I got to make fun of him all the way to the exit and not knowing that he's going to his truck to get his gun. And then he comes back and I made fun of him all the way from the door back to his table.
It's our job.
Yeah. And then you can't
laugh though, right?
And here's the thing about comedy. You know, it's one of those things where, okay, yes, it's a gun. I may well die right here and now, but I cannot back down. I've just spent a good portion of my act, like 20 minutes, making fun of this man. And now, I don't know if the gun's loaded. He looks quite capable of killing me. I'm sure he's killed immediate members of his family. But you can't back down. And it's just as you're still slamming the guy onto the mats, you're thinking, what a way to die. But am I getting laughs? And I am. So
I gotta go. I gotta go on.
If this is the way I go, I know if nothing else, other comics are going to be proud of me.
Yeah, exactly. And we would have been, Glenn. We would have been so proud. Oh, yeah. And I know I said things to people as they were leaving that if I was in the States, I would have been shot.
Oh, yeah.
I remember screaming at some kid, I can take a 19-year-old. I was in pretty good shape. So I was pretty cocky about things, you know?
I was cocky, but most of the time I was just drunk.
Well,
there was a great scene in the movie Bad Santa. Billy Bob Thornton.
Yeah, vaguely.
And he plays a drunk who gets jobs in malls at Christmas time as Santa, and then him and his partner. After the malls close, then they rob them. But he's trying to help this little kid learn how to fight. Like, there's some funny scenes in that movie, like some horrifying funny scenes, but, and he's talking to the kid, and the kid's like, so you're a really good fighter? And he goes, well, it's not so much that I'm a great fighter. I'm just really drunk all the time, so I don't feel very much. And I don't really sober up, so I guess, yeah. And I laughed very hard when I saw that film, just from that part, yeah. Because I was like, yeah, that was me.
Yeah.
I actually got hit in the head, in the face, with a 2x4, I think. It wasn't at a comedy gig.
I don't remember doing that, but okay.
But I got up after they hit me. Like, I went down, obviously, but I got back up.
True.
And then the person just looked horrified and ran away, which, yeah, I would have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I digress. So we've managed to take a pretty serious topic, cancel culture and freedom of speech, and spend the better part of almost an hour basically talking about Mustangs and making fun of people.
You're welcome.
That's what I was going to say next. I can't thank you enough for coming on the program.
I would love to do this again. I swear to God, I was so nervous about this because I was like, the email I sent you actually started, I remember now, I started out by saying I was unaware that thinking would be involved.
No, yeah, but you should have known. I mean, yeah, really, it's me.
But it's comic. As soon as you try to put some sort of fence around it, I'm like, well, there's a fence around it. I don't know if I can do that. I need the wide open field. I need to feel the air, oxygen, to- you know, breathe it all in. Yeah, I need freedom, damn it. I need freedom.
That's right.
I should get a convo together.
But, you know, and you know what I'd love to do? I'd love to do a show with yourself and some other people that we used to know.
Oh, no, just me.
Just you?
Yeah, of course. It'd be a blast. I'd love to do that. Let's do it. That would be great. Because comics can be so respectful when each other's talking.
Yeah.
I'm sure it wouldn't become a giant shout fest. That's a really good idea.
Or maybe not. I don't know.
it would be great. Let's do it. I'd love to.
Yeah. It's certainly worth a shot. So, listen.
I'd like to thank three people that would eventually watch this.
Well, you know, listen, I'll have you know that last time I checked, my YouTube channel had 21 subscribers.
I had no idea. I feel bad.
So just, you know, I think you should think twice about who you're making fun of.
I will now.
Anyways.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today on Wallace Hartley Presents the Podcast. I want to thank all of you for joining us. I hope it was as much fun for you as it was for us, or maybe like you tuned out after about 10 minutes going, oh my God, these two, really? Yeah. I don't have time for this. But if you do have time, or if you did have time, please do not forget to like, give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. And you can catch the podcast on Podbean, on Google Play. And what do you think? I just want to run this by you. Should I pull our podcast off Spotify, like to stand in solidarity? Because I think they would.
I just think you should stop torturing that poor child behind you.
I was hoping that. This wasn't picking that up, but
no, it is.
Well, listen, my wife's had a long week, so, you know, and I'm sitting in here like a jerk.
No, you've been married a lot longer than that, a week.
So she's like, oh yeah, so your little thing that you do, that's probably more important than help me with the kids. Yeah, so I should probably go do that right now. Thanks everybody for stopping by. And Dave, we'll see you again real soon.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thanks, Glenn, so much for this. It was a lot of fun. It's good to see you again, man.
Okay. You too.
All right. How do I leave the studio?
Well, I just just like that.